您现在听到的是精简版的 Roundtable 节目，想收听并下载一小时完整节目，可以打开网站 CRIEZFM.com， 点击 Roundtable。Podcast 用户可以搜索圆桌会议。
Sex toys are a growing market, attracting an ever-growing customer base and ever-clever investors looking for the next hot opportunity. And nothing is hotter than sex. Most sex toy makers have kept their business private in China, but now there is one that is aiming to go public. Zhejiang Lover Health Science is planning to list in order to expand sales of its bedroom bulbs.
Of its what?
I can't hold my laughter, I'm sorry, because this is one topic that we've done extensive research and got so many comments already that we'd like to go into depth a bit later. 据美国华尔街日报网站报道，某成人情趣用品有限公司正在计划上市，情趣用品去年网络销量已高达38亿元，这是否说明了中国人在性这个问题上已经更加开放了呢？So wow, it's big news that a sex toy maker is listing on Chinese stock market exchange. What does this mean for the industry?
Well, definitely, I think this industry is a very niche industry. However, it has become very, very powerful if you look at the growth rate. The gross profit rate was about 40 to 50% annually for these companies specifically.Yet the company is still in debt by over 11 million. So that is not something very interesting due to its internationalization strategy. This company has already acquired some of the overseas, companies there. And then I think it comes in a very timely fashion for this company to be listed in the 新三板, the NTB there. So I think, it's powerful. And another thing I would like to mention here, I think, you know,Chinese people tend to be progressively involving themselves in the society nowadays. We used to be very good at making sex toys, fortunately in our history. If you look at those concubines around emperors when they have some sexual problems, they tend to resort to them. And according to research made by different sexologists, men have, sex toys as well. But now, after the founding of the People's Republic of China, people tend to be more conservative. They are timid and shy. They don't want to talk about sexual issues in public. And now I think we've seen a reversing trend. A lot of people are happy about talking about, sex. And this sex toy industry is actually very powerful because it is the hotbed. The Chinese companies take up 70% of the overall volume production.
Yeah.
When it comes to sex toy production.
That's right. That's an amazing statistic, isn't it, really? Some of these things can cost a lot of money as well. And if we do take a look at the, I think really, still very prudish attitudes towards sex that prevail in China.
Right.
I mean, I think it's, you know, if manufacturers can get past that, then there's a massive market to be tapped here. And not just by this Chinese, company on here, the Zhejiang, Lover Health Science, which is planning to go for one of these, stock market listings, but also the foreign brands as well would love to get into this kind of market. Similarly to coffee manufacturers as well, because the consumption of coffee in China, I can tell you what it is. Do you know how much coffee is consumed every day by every person on average in the world? Every year, actually, 120 cups of coffee a year. In China, it's less than one cup a year. And I think it's actually probably the same with this market that we're talking about here. You know, it's a massive market if it can be developed.
Yes, and we're already seeing that as, according to Wall Street Journal, there's more sex toy shops than Starbucks in our country. And I think that's a fascinating observation. We'll definitely talk a bit more about the industry as we come back after the break. It seems like people are very interested in that topic that we left off right before the break about the sex toy industry in China. And I know it makes some people cringe, but I'm glad that we're talking about this in a very objective way. And got a lot of comments about why they think this is a worthwhile discussion discussion and why they think that this industry is growing. For example, our WeChat listener, 战之有一点, says that happy and healthy sex is good, and this is something that could be of use for people, and people should be more open about it. Miao Miao Wang says a good sex life is good for a stable and happy relationship. Premarital sex is... Okay, here is something a little bit delicate. It's about answering to your natural needs. Why suppress it? And that's something, let's just be honest and not deny it. And when we look at the growth of this industry, I think to some extent it is reflecting that there is a cultural change in our country. And okay, you guys aren't saying anything, so I'm going for it. As one of my idols, Li Yinhe, she is a gender issues scholar, probably one of the most prominent one in China. What she says, I think, is sort of reflected in what our listeners are saying too, as there are two premises in this revolution that we're seeing. And first of all is sex is morally acceptable only if it is consensual among age appropriate and rational people, and all consensual sexual practices are acceptable as long as they don't harm either party. And I think with a more objective look at these things, I think gradually maybe I think the first step to face any problem or issue is to acknowledge that it exists and try to get to know what it is about. And we're kind of on the curve to that.
Do you think, who was it you mentioned? What was her name?
Li Yinhe.
Do you think she's looked at the rates of infection of sexually transmitted diseases in the West since the 1960s, the so-called primitive society, and factored that in to her research?
I'm sure she has, so that's why you should always wear protection and you should always have a safety precaution whenever you're practicing these kind of events.
How much knowledge is there, do you think, of sexual health issues? I mean, how much is it taught in schools in China now compared with, say, the previous generation?
I think there is a change in things. I think there's a... small incremental steps make going forward, but it's certainly not enough. What do you think, Luo Yu?
I think this, when it comes to sex education, it's been progressive. It reminds me of my experience back in school. It was not very satisfactory, unfortunately. All the people were put in a classroom altogether, dividedly by these parts men, the other part being women. Girls, let's say. Different videos were played at that time. And the teachers told us something about, for example, what a masturbation is and what you do practically. So that's the sex education. It did help a little bit back in school years, but when it comes to your future development, it was not that helpful.
Okay, well, it doesn't sound like it was all that useful, but I think for people, this is one of the things that everybody has to go through, and it'd be a lot more useful if people can... not keep it under the rug and just look at it objectively. And I think with the rise of this industry, cultural change, it's definitely, you know, in the backdrop. But more importantly, don't you think that it is the widespread of internet access that has made the ways to acquire these adult toys to be a lot more covert and given people a lot more freedom? What do you think?
What are you saying? That it's easier for people to buy them now because they don't have to go into a shop.
Right.
They can buy it online.
Well, the thing is, when you're looking at the sales on the internet, it is a 74% growth year on year. And I think partially of it probably has something to do with it.
Well, I think you're exactly right. It's people still feel embarrassed, some people do, about this kind of thing. So therefore, if they can order the thing and have it delivered privately, I think usually these companies would wrap it in a wrapper that doesn't mention that it's from a sex toy shop, for example. And so, of course, they'll order more, won't they? Because they don't have to walk into the shop and be embarrassed.
I think feeling embarrassed is one thing, but if you are a customer yourself, I've been to those sex shops, you will find most of the shops are located in the corner of the streets with purple, pink light on. If you're going to the shop, you'll find the shop owners or shop assistants assistants are not very professional, if you want to solicit some professional advice, being it by latex or silicone, you know, they couldn't tell you the differences about it. That's one thing.
But I'm sure you could, by the sound of it.
And surely the place is in a confined room. The light is dark. So when it comes to user experience or customer experience, the physical shops in China definitely have to be upgraded further into the future.
You think they're a bit seedy, do you?
Yes.
Yeah, well, actually, that's something that, of course, would not come across on the internet, where you could have a sort of, you know, very nice-looking website, and no one would know that it was linked to the sort of place that you like to frequent.
But thanks to the anonymity of the internet. But I think if more and more people purchase stuff, sex toys online, this industry tends to be heavily reliant on the logistics companies themselves. What do you see this?
Well, I'm just wondering about the actual IPO of this company. Mm-hmm. You know, how sort of fund managers are going to be selling this to their clients, you know, when they want them to invest and buy these shares.
Especially when it comes to publicity, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, because some of the words or content are considered as pornographic or inappropriate.
It's funny how people might think twice about investing in a sex shop company, and if they just hand over their money anyway for a general fund, they'll find that they're actually investing in weapons and tobacco and companies that are cruel to animals, the fur trade, for example. Mm-hmm. So it seems strange that people get squeamish about the idea of investing in a sex shop IPO, whereas actually their money is funding much worse things in this world already. And actually, if you tell them, they don't care anyway. They won't take their money out of something that invests in weapons companies or the fur trade or tobacco. They won't. But that should be the thing that should be shocking, really, that people continue to invest in such things when you tell them what they're investing in, not people investing in a sex shop, which is, you know, basically their business is people's personal pleasure.
But I think that's for the benefit of human beings.
Oh, wow. Okay,
and it's something worth doing.
Okay.
Well, that's what I mean, that people will think twice about investing in it because they think it's a bit of a something that perhaps it's just because it's something they're not used to, having this kind of IPO, which is, I think, actually why we're talking about it, because it is unusual to have this kind of IPO go to the stock market.
Yeah, I think for investors, they're probably thinking about what is most profitable out of all. Maybe, and nobody else needs to know what they're investing in, so maybe it's less of a sensitive issue for them. But I don't want to get people the wrong idea that we're all advocates for toys, because don't forget that there is the safety issue that you need to bear in mind. And this is a precaution everybody should take across board, whatever you're using, safety, and making sure that the relevant certificates or whatever documents are there before you open that package.
I think, you know, when it comes to education, the things Fu Yang just mentioned now, precautions definitely has to be added to the education or textbooks, because we haven't been told enough content about STD, sexually transmitted diseases, or how to protect yourself using a condom or HIV, those sort of stuff.
You two seem to know an awful lot about it. I'm just a simple lad from London, came to China. The next thing I know, I'm listening to this kind of thing.
Oh,
shocking.
Really? Well, shocking that sometimes Mark, you surprise me in so many ways.